In this episode of Accidental Apprentice Podcast, I sit down with co-founder of Works, Michael Ealing. Michael's got a background in HR and business coaching and consulting. And as the co-founder of Works, he's striving to revolutionize the whole job applicant and employer searching marketplace. Traditional resumes and CVs have really gone the way of the past, but we still cling on to them with the hope that they're going to solve our needs. The reality is, discussing and transferring the skills that we truly have that are marketable, that can be an advantage, and that employers are looking for, really is being miscommunicated or lost. Works hopes to solve that. In this episode, we delve into the traditional resume and cover letter, the CV, how skills are being missed out, how employers are unable to clearly and concisely discuss the skills they need, and how applicants struggle to display those skills, and how Works is a mechanism that might be able to solve all of that. This is a unique app that's been developed, and not only is it an app, there's a website. I ask you to check in the notes below on the show details. Check out Works. It is revolutionary, in my opinion. I think it's going to change a lot of the interface and how all this goes together for applicants and employers in connecting that market together to fill this gap. While you're checking out Works, take the time, head over to www.accidentalapprentice.com, check out the latest episodes, the previous episodes, and also head over to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, check out our social media feed, see what we're up to. And on the way, on the horizon, it's coming. Merchandise is coming. I have been asked for Accidental Apprentice t-shirts, and it is in the works, folks. We are just getting to the final stages. On top of that, if there's a career or a field or a discussion around employment and career pathways and skill development that you would like to hear more about, or someone you would like me to engage with and get on the podcast, do not hesitate to email me info@accidentalapprentice.com or hit me up in the DMs in Twitter or Instagram. I will dig up and go out and find and connect with all kinds of different folks. We're headed in a bit of a new direction on Accidental Apprentice. We're going to take a little trip away from the skill trades and touch into some different career paths. You know, this is not only a construction or skill trade style podcast, and we're going to open up those horizons and break down those barriers and go into some different career conversations. So, and I think you'd be surprised where we go and some of the people that we're going to get on the podcast to share their experiences. And what I hope you will realize is that the difficulties per industry or per sector, you know, there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of challenges, there's a lot of struggles, and there's a lot of roadblocks that occur in all sectors, and that can be solved by thinking outside of the box from cross-sector applications. I know that sounds kind of maybe a little in-depth there, but it'll be very interesting to see how some of the solutions from other industries and sectors can be applied across. It'll be interesting to see on how some of the challenges that have hit other sectors that have been conquered. I hope for interesting conversation to hear about the successes that have been achieved by hitting some of the... I look forward to discussing some of the solutions and successes that have been achieved from the challenges that have been occurred in other sectors that are being shared in things like skill trades and construction and so on. So anyways, without any further ado, have a listen to Michael Ealing, co-founder of Works Pro, sitting down with the Accidental Apprentice.
Welcome to another episode of Accidental Apprentice, Odd Jobs Explored, with your host, Adam Melton.
And anyways, we'll let it run now. It's better. So this is amazing. First of all, thank you so much for your time.
And you.
Yeah. I know. This is like the first time I've ever done something where I get to film or record for a podcast, and vice versa, I get to return a favor for somebody else. So that's kind of cool. And I apologize ahead of time for whatever you're going to use this for. I'll do the best I can. So
this is like we said, this is going to be the free flowing ideas squished into the half hour that we've got.
That's awesome. So there's the title. For the audience listening, who am I here with?
Michael Ayling. I'm the one of the founders and the general manager of Works.
Works. And if you haven't checked out Works, I mean, you have to see Works. You guys seem to be everywhere right now. My Instagram feed constantly has you coming up, and the ads are flying up. So it shows Instagram marketing really does work effectively and instantly. That's how I found you, actually. Mm-hmm. I know you guys were over at Future Build with a bunch of colleagues that I know that were there. I wasn't at that event. I had to be at a conference in Lac-la-May, so I missed Future Build this year, which always is depressing because I love that event. Would have been great to meet you there. I just got to start with, what is Works?
Works is a hiring network. The idea is that we think that hiring sucks. The way we do hiring now, the way we advance people in their careers, the way we make connections is horrible. And we're fixing it. The basics are, instead of posting a job, instead of an employer posting a job and then people applying to it, which is broken in, on both sides, we say, put up what you're good at, and then companies search and they make a match. It's like a dating app. So, hey, yep, let's chat, that works. No, okay, good. The reason that regular posting doesn't work is that when a company posts, they get inundated. They'll get hundreds, thousands of applications, and those applications are often completely off base, not part of reality in terms of, can this person do that job? It's being automated now, where people around the globe are sniffing any site that might post a job.
Okay.
They'll put in an application. You'll have someone from the other side of the globe putting an application to Joe Carpenter, who's just put up an ad on one of the posting sites. And so they get inundated. And as a small business, you're flooded. As a large business, you have to hire people and hire and spend a lot of time and energy on software and other process to try and filter it out. And so you're already, as a hiring manager, already jaded. Flip it over. Look at the side for the job seeker. Someone's looking for their next, whether it's full time, part time, apprentice, summer job, evening work, whatever it is. They go and they apply to the job and they hear nothing. And so they apply the job and they hear nothing. They apply the job and they hear nothing. Well, guess what? We're training them to just keep applying to jobs, keep firing things off. No, let's not do that. Let's say, tell me what you're good at, and I will put you in front of people who are looking for what you have. Ah, that's a good idea.
Oh, big time. And that's, it's, you see the websites that are out there. I mean, I can think of Indeed. I can think of like what you'd be, Workopolis and Monster, and they were a big trend for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was this, I can see where that traffic came from. And to the point where I've even heard of programs that exist now that work like on an AI kind of idea that weed out the applicants to knock it down.
Bingo.
So how do you even, you can't wedge through that.
No.
If you miss one piece in that algorithm,
exactly.
You're missing one. Or then now there's services to write your application or cover letter to meet the algorithms so you get it, but meanwhile, you're not qualified.
But you can see how people would be motivated to find that in. If I put in this application and it gets rejected because I didn't put this keyword in, let me put that keyword in. Mm. And let me pay $50 to someone who can put all the keywords into my resume and fire them in. It's this war of attrition. We don't need to do it.
And you're competing against a system to simply almost beat the system. Now, do you even really want that job?
Bingo. No.
What happens when you're there a week?
You have no idea. You have no idea whether this. So let's cut that out and just do it like a dating app. Do you like this company? Do you like this employee or potential employee? It also works for trade subtrade. So if I am a GC, I can say, I need my regular plumber isn't here. I need a new plumber. Who can I get as a plumber for this project or to fill in this gap? One of the biggest problems that large jobs have, large projects have, is that the length of the project is affected by people not being available.
Right.
So let's find a quicker way to getting people available. Yeah, you still have to go through the vetting processes. This, our tool does not do all of the vetting for you. We're not saying, here's your golden person. We're saying, here's the introduction.
Right.
Down the road, yeah, we'll do a little bit of vetting, maybe. But right now, let's make the connection, let you guys start having conversations. Let's also take out some of the bias that's in there, because there's a bias built into the system of when you throw people out there, the people are going to look at where they come from, their school, their last name. They're going to look at maybe their picture and decide. And so there's a bunch of bias stuff that we can pull out and say, we're going to lead with skill. And so we can bring women in, we can bring new Canadians and new Americans in, we can bring anyone else into the map and get them gainfully employed quickly.
Wow, yeah, you really break some barriers big time.
Hopefully.
It's the idea is to be about skill and to connection.
Yes.
Oh, that's huge. What was this when I was a kid? So where did this idea come from, Mike? Like, I mean, it's... Some people may listen and think this isn't necessarily novel. They might be able to quote something that's like that.
Sure.
But being an Ontario resident and a person who's in the construction and skilled trades world, I can tell you this is novel, definitely novel, and it's innovative. So where did this come from?
It came out of frustration. My co-founder is named Corey Houghton. He runs a couple of companies. One of them is a building company. And he and I were chatting one day, and he pounded his fist on the table saying, why is it so hard to hire? As a small business, I put out a job ad and I get inundated. I get people crawling under the door to get in. They're finding out my personal email. They're finding out my text. I'm getting all kinds of people just trying to get their resume in front of me, and I don't have the time to do that. And I don't know that they're qualified. And they might be good, but I'm inundated. There's got to be a better way. And then I said, well, guess what? On the other side, it sucks too. Because you have all these people who are doing that throwing because no one's listening, or that's what it appears like, no one's listening.
Right.
Unions do a good job. Unions, you know, will promote you, get you onto the list, get you to the next gig, and get you, but not everyone is or can be in the union. So what can we do? What can we do that? And it was at the, it was sort of the height of some of the dating apps like Tinder, where Tinder was taking off, and you'd be able to just say, yeah, like, why can't we do that for hiring? I'm like, we can, let's go do that. So there was that fist pounding that said, there's got to be a better way.
There's always a tipping point.
Yeah. My background is in business coaching and business consulting and HR and careers, helping people find jobs, et cetera. And I've always been frustrated with the insanity of hiring. So this was him pounding his fist and me going, yeah.
Both sides of the table getting together on the same topic.
Yeah.
Wow, that's okay. That answers that question really, really well. So how long has Works Pro or Works been running?
Works has, last year we created an alpha version where we tested out, got people beating it up and saying what worked, what didn't work. We then shut that down, took the learnings and rebuilt it starting last year, and it was ready in February. So we launched February this year.
What,
2018.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, this is my naivety coming, if that's even a word, ignorance is coming through, is that I would have thought this program is up a little bit running a little bit longer than that.
Mm-mm.
Because it looks extremely polished and it looks smooth. And it looks, as I go through looking at it and I'm hearing about the buzz within it, I really would have assumed it was longer, actually.
Oh, well, thank you. That's actually music to our ears, because we sit here going, oh my God, it's, you know, every week we're looking at new people coming in. So is it good? And you have to, as a startup, you're constantly looking, is it good? Does it smooth? Corey's really good at going, that's horrible. Let's fix that. and we've got a development partner called Responsive, who come in, and they're the ones that are doing the coding, and they will say, okay, let's make it smooth. Let's make it cleaner. So thanks.
Okay. Well, I'm going to delve into some of the questions that maybe about who is using the both sides of this coin.
Mm-hmm.
So the employers, the frustrated employer conversation, we'll get back to that one. I want to talk about the applicants.
Good.
So the applicants coming through, where is the predominant, is there a glaring demographic that's coming through as an applicant that's looked as a job seeker? Is it second career style people? Is it new first time employees? Like, who do you see greater than that?
We're seeing a little bit of everything right now, because it's new, and we've had a bunch of growth that came from February. There isn't yet a big trend, There are a couple of iconic stories, though. One is a relatively, compared to me, a relatively young man.
Awesome.
Guy mid-career, okay. Early mid-career. So he's in his probably mid-30s, who was a site supervisor looking to advance. He used some of the other services to try to find a job, and they were horrible. You know, again, he was pushing and pushing and pushing, trying to break through. He got on Works, and 6 days later, he had a great job that he's just started as a project manager in a company that adores him and he adores. So jeez. It's like, oh, well, we like that. That's a good story.
Absolutely.
So you've got some mid-career stuff. You've got people looking at, I've got all these skills and I want to then leverage that. You've got people coming in going, I don't have any skill. I'm a 17-year-old, or I'm brand new, or well, I've got skill, but they don't translate. I might have tried the university thing and said, that's not me.
Right.
Yeah, my parents wanted me to get the university degree, but I need to get started. So one of the things that we do is we say, yes, put in what you're good at. Tell me what you're good at. But it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm good at tiling, or I'm good at electric, if you aren't yet, if you haven't done the apprenticeships or you haven't got the training. But you're good at something. So
right.
What is that? And we've captured a whole bunch of things, like personal skills, management skills, site leadership skills. The personal skills include things like being on time, being conscientious, a great communicator. Not everyone has those, but there are 30-some-odd ones to choose from that you will be good at.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I really am good at being a self-motivator. Yeah, I really am good at written communication. I am really good at reading construction documents. Fantastic. So you might be good at reading construction documents, you might be good at organizing, but you've never done a site supervising job, that's fine. So because companies are saying, I don't care, I'll train.
Yeah.
Just bring them in, we'll get them trained.
Yeah. Well, it's the essential skill conversation that yes. is out there very yes. heavily right now, right?
Just like Skills Ontario and Skills Canada.
Yeah, and essential everyone's skills. Pushing essential skills and as a big conversation piece because people don't realize that's the marketable piece.
It's huge.
Yeah, and that's that disconnect, I think, from the employer prospective employer from a prospective employee. They're taught as an prospective employees that they need to have a specific skill set to get a
yes.
job, and the employer's like, no, let me teach you the skill
yes.
set. I need these other things, and that's like. Like, woo, no one's got that.
And when people go into interviews, they are reluctant or don't even know that they have these tools in their toolkit that are critical. The age-old hiring maxim has been hire for attitude, train aptitude.
Right.
Always. And yet, well, I can tell you, there are young people, older people who are looking for jobs, who don't know that, but there are just as many hiring managers who don't know that. So part of our education and part of Reason for Works is to say, no, but the essential skills, or what's the core, and then what can you train? We wrote an article just this week about, all right, so how can you train? How can a small business, for example, a lot of our initial clientele on the employer side, on the company side, are smaller businesses.
Right.
And they go, how am I going to train? I don't have a training department. I don't have a trainer. You're the trainer. And it's not hard. You
yeah.
do it all the time. When Timmy or Tammy is over there and doing it wrong, you go in and you make a quick correction, and that's how everybody learns. So just do that. Just be a little thoughtful about it.
Wow. Okay. So...
Well, that was quite rambling. I went.
No,
I went
it wasn't.
Off
it was great.
Directions.
And this is there's so much depth here. I mean, in preparation, I was scavenging through all the different social media sources, like through LinkedIn and Facebook and all, and trying to understand as much as I could about Works Pro, and that's what made me think you guys were around for so much longer because it was shaped nice. It was, I mean, first of all, when it looks good, it always makes you think he's been around for a few renditions.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, it was thorough. And so that's where I started to realize that I thought, wow, how did I miss the mark on this one? But February makes me feel a little bit better that, this all works. I'm not having my pulse on my own industry. It is new. Okay. So when we go back to the employers for a second there, is that they
So we're teaching this conversation about essential skills, and we're teaching the two sides of the fence to understand that the predominant need is the essential skills, and that we're teaching the new applicant that they have a myriad of skills that they can bring to the table. Don't get caught up on specificity.
Yes,
right?
Please don't. Yes.
Are the employers getting away from the traditional "let's ask for this" stuff? Like, for example, a lot of jobs they go, "Well, I think we need a college diploma for this." What's the college diploma for?
No.
And they just
put that
or you need a university degree, but the job has nothing to do with university. You can't even get it.
So that goes back to the thing that is the bane of our existence, and this is what we say, why we say that the job search and the job filling process is so broken. Companies out of habit, for no other reason than they've always done it, that everyone's always done it, they start, "Oh, we need someone to do this work." They don't go any deeper than that. "We need someone to do this work." And then someone says, "Let's write a job description."
Yeah.
And it is one of the worst things that you can do, because people don't know how to write a job description. They do. They say, "Yeah, I can go online. I can get a template.
Copy and paste.
I can copy and paste," yeah. but that's just continuing the problem. The problem, what's the problem? It tells you nothing. Yeah, there's laundry lists of qualifications, nice to haves and need to haves. Things like, "Oh yeah, I need a college diploma," or "This needs a university degree." Those were shortcuts from ages ago that said, "Well, if this person has a university degree, they then have the stick-to-itiveness that I need."
Mm, okay.
Nah. I don't care. You know, maybe it's a Bachelor of Arts in singing performance, but it's good. They've got a degree. All right, so they're an upstanding person because that. No, if you want an upstanding person, say, "All right, well, I need an upstanding person. These are the qualities that I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone who's going to be conscientious, someone who's going to be responsible, someone who's going to be high in customer service features. That's what I'm looking for. I don't care how you get it," and the old indicators of things like a university degree don't matter. University degrees, yes, they're wonderful. We can't have a great society without having universities. We can't have a great society without having colleges. But it's not the default. Yeah, no. there's a place for all of that. But people are, in technology, we have this thing called overloading, where you overload a function with trying to get it to do too many things. No, simplify. So the problem with hiring is that we load up everything into that job description. We put all these things in just because someone said, or I copied it, or someone said, "This is a good one," without any real consideration. So what I recommend is no, three to five sentences that describe at the end of the day, we'll know someone's doing a good job in this role when we see ... So imagine, let's say you are, pick a role and we'll do it together.
Okay. So let's go with a scheduler.
Scheduler, perfect. Yeah. So at the end of the day, how will you know that the scheduler is doing his or her job well?
Yeah, that's right. Well, they're going to be... How would I know the scheduler is doing their job good or well? They're able to create less headaches on a job site, for lack of terms.
Yeah,
or
great.
Maybe they got fluidity on a job site.
That's great.
Other trades are not complaining about overlap.
Two. That's good.
There was no stoppages of work.
Great, yes.
There was no confusion or chaos caused by the fact that there is multiple deliveries on site at the same time.
Bingo.
Or,
and I would probably add some of those you might collapse because but I would add probably two more. One that is, you want no more than five.
Right.
But you might add something around cost.
Yep.
It says that because the scheduler has done her job well, the rework costs and the recall costs of getting that trade to come back,
right,
or getting that delivery rescheduled are gone. So we've minimized the excess costs, and also something about teamwork, because is about communication and teamwork. So I put something in that says the people who work with her or him think they're on top of it, that communication is easy, and generally collaborative. something like that.
So communication, that what I want to touch on that really quickly too. So as I engage employers and agencies and educators, communication comes up across everybody. Mm-hmm. But one thing I'm struggling to find, and I'm hoping to find it right here, to be honest with you, is a bit of a clarity on communication. Because I bring up the fact that, particularly in skilled trades, you've got about four generations actively working in the field together.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. As a former apprenticeship training instructor and having gone through over a decade of doing that, what I found to be a really big learning curve was communication. Mm-hmm. Particularly like with apprentices, I'd have all ages, shapes, color, sizes in the room, and that was great. Learning to communicate to them was an instructional thing I had to keep refreshing myself on and go get educated on, and which was great. It was a neat journey.
Yep.
The job, not everyone has that opportunity. So on the job sites, in the opportunities, in the environments, the working environments, communication is paramount. We use the word communication a lot.
Oh boy.
So what key qualities or key indicators are we looking at for the development of communication? Because we have to accept one thing, and I think we probably agree on this, is that is always a growing skill.
Sure.
It's always going to develop, and it's going to develop to your audience or whoever you're speaking with and engaging
with. I would say all of the skills that we can call essential skills or what we're labeling personal skills are completely developable.
Yeah.
You can get good at applying them in multiple arenas. You can get good. You might have the seed of them that you've always had since you were a kid, and then you get better and better and better. Communication is key. The one of the problems that I notice is that communication is another one of those overloaded words. It's stuffed. What do you mean by communication? Do you mean I've paused to listen? Do you mean I am clear in what I'm saying? Do you mean I am taking the emotion out of it? Do you mean I am thorough? Do you mean I've written it down? Do you mean that I'm not talking too much? Do you mean that I'm not talking too little? So many different things that people will say, oh, it's a communication. What we got here is a communication problem. Well, what does that mean?
Though you hit so many beautiful things in there that I'm so glad you were able to summarize, because that stuff regarding pause, and I even get into the written communication being one now as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Right? So I see, especially when I talk skilled trades, we see the older generations that are running the sites, they turn around and say, you know, I don't have time for these text messages and emails. The younger generation has been told, follow up your communications with the text message or email.
As we spoke today, this is what we're going to do. Yes.
To ensure that you were heard and you said what you needed to say.
Yes, and so that when the fit hits the shan later in the project, you can go, we said that, right? Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, okay, good.
So as works deals with both sides of the fence, I know there is the educational piece, I'm sure, with the applicants. Like,
oh, yeah.
Now, my question is there the educational piece with the employers?
Absolutely.
I was going to say, because helping them bridge this gap, especially with communication.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the biggest problems we have out there, is you see even the modern resumes, that the CV and letter of intent now, it has elevated to a new game. And a lot of employers are like, just give me a resume, show me where you worked. They don't want all that. But meanwhile, the new applicant is, let me write out how I can be an asset to you based on who I am. And the employer is like, I just want to know what you've done.
Well, and yes. And so, yes, there's the two things that you mentioned there. One is the overdeveloped CV. And the other is the employer just saying they've got their shortcuts for how they want to hire. So let's tackle them in that order. The overdeveloped CV, again, is going back to the templates and someone just saying, oh, make it better like this. Again, why do we have CVs? Why do we keep using this? There is some value in saying, I've worked here. This was some of my education, et cetera, et cetera. In an interview, typically you're using that to say, yep, okay, good. I'm getting a picture.
Yeah.
But you really want to say, can this person do the work at the core using essential skills? Do we have is there evidence that if I bring this person in, I'm going to have a likelihood that there's a higher likelihood this person is going to be a good hire? So from the employer's side, they're using this as shortcuts and shorthand. But the problem is they can get overwhelming. That's why we want to go back to your skills. What are you good at? Can you do the work at the core level? And then let's talk about, are you compatible? Or is there a fit? Is there a is your experience relevant? So the employer's aspect. I said I was going to start with the CV. I went to the employer. Sorry.
No, it goes there though, doesn't it?
It does. The employer's job here has to be stop asking for extra data you don't need. So again, going back to the job description, go to the core, yeah. and then interview for fit. Interview for verification of the talents that they say they have. On the CV side, it's really should be, yes, there's still a position for, there's a place for this is who I am. And that's what Works is trying to be. This is who I am. And trying to simplify and trying to get it as clean as possible. When, however, and you should still have your own CV, your own resume, but and cover letter, but it should be something that says it should be a communication, not an advertisement. Mm. And so communication means commune. I mean, it's that sense of we. It's not me. Ah. And a problem with a lot of resume teaching is that you create artistically crafted words and imagery to say, here's how great I am. Or really you're afraid you're not very good and so you try to puff it up. Or whatever you fall into trying to create that resume. Instead, what does that company that I'm applying to need? Who are they? What have they said that they need? Great, let me first say that I understand. You are hiring a senior electrician, or you're hiring I don't know the electricians very well, so I won't use that as an example.
Sorry.
You're hiring a site supervisor. Mm-hmm. You have said that you are, in our prior conversations or in whatever you've posted, you have said that you are looking for someone who, or are you looking to control costs, make sure the schedule is on time, and make sure that clients feel well cared for. Fantastic. We also, and the fourth one, the consultants are well informed. So all the consultants on the site need to be well informed. Fantastic. Here's why I think I'm good at that. Boom, boom, boom. That's what your resume should be there for. It should be able to help that hiring person tick the box. Beyond that, it's just more puffery. You have all of that resume stuff trying to get through and get noticed and get under the doorway, like Corey, you know, the people yeah. crawling under the door to get noticed, versus let's just have a conversation. Let's start and have a conversation, and let the narrow edge of the wedge that allows us to have that conversation should be, I have the talents. I have the raw talents. I have the capability. Let's talk.
So aside from the goal of connecting prospective employees to, you know, hunting employers of Works, what other goals are you guys hoping to achieve with Works?
That's the commercial goal is that we make the connection, we earn a little money by making that connection. That's our commercial goal. Our larger and more compelling goal is let's fix hiring. And let's attract more people into this industry by making it smoother, making it easier for people to transition in. So we have a crisis. We don't have enough people in the industry.
Right.
There are lawsuits going on left, right, and center because of non-performance, because the trades can't find enough people to do it. And some of it is really simple. They can't even find someone to sweep. They can't even find someone to do the general labor. And so you've got expensive trades who are stuck on either unable to work or distracted.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you're going to have problems on site. That's just one symptom. There's tons of symptoms of we don't have enough people in. Let's make it easy to bring people in.
Okay.
And one way of doing that is saying, highlight your talents and then we'll train. Highlight your talents and then we'll get you into a training program, like an apprenticeship program.
Right.
And then use that... and use that as a way of renovating the way we hire. The way we hire sucks. We need to fix it. The way we get hired sucks. We need to fix it. We need to make it much more about a conversation. Going back to before we started recording, we talked about the gig economy.
Yes.
There's that sense that there's temporary jobs and we get to jump from job to job, and that's kind of cool. Maybe. And there's still going to be economic pressures, macroeconomic pressures that are going to push people more into gigs. Some of it will be by choice, some of it will be by necessity, some of it will be because there's something else broken someplace in the economy. But the gig economy is still going to be there. Let's make that smooth. Let's take some of the tension out of that. Let's take some of the angst out of that by saying, here is a vibrant hiring network that says, when gig A is done, gig B is right there.
Mm.
And you don't have to be locked into, oh, well, I'm a pipe fitter and nobody needs pipe fitters anymore. Well, you know, that's not a good example. Everyone needs pipe fitters all the time.
But
you know, let's take, what were you going to say? Give me an example.
Well, no, I was going to follow up with that saying it's along the same vein. Anyone that is familiar with the skilled trade, they can take any of the 156 and
yes.
refer to that and almost refer to themselves as a gig economy.
But yes,
that the job right. will dry up. The job will finish. I yep. mean, that's the beauty of a skilled trade. You know, there's an end because that's what you're trying to achieve.
Yes.
And a lot of times there's apprehension as you get to that last 25 or 10%. I'm about to work myself out of a job.
Bingo.
And it takes many years to work up that confidence. It sounds like to me one of the goals here with Works is to help build an earlier set of confidence that, look, aside from gig A, gig B is coming. It's there.
Bingo.
You
yes.
can see gig B.
Yes.
Don't worry. And if that gig B isn't there, there's going to be another gig B there.
Yes.
And then that
And you're not
there.
Locked into. If you have invested X time X and Y dollars and Z effort
right.
into learning this craft, and that craft stops being relevant either temporarily or longer term, you don't need to worry because you can go back to your essential skills and go do something else. You can explore something else, and people will come to find you because you're not raising your flag and saying I'm a very skilled person who the economy doesn't need much of anymore, or that where there's a glut of them because we trained up a lot of those and now it's hard to get a gig in that. I can raise my hand and say, actually, I've got all these core skills. I'm happy to supply these core skills, these essential skills to anything, and I'd be really good at X, Y, Z.
I see an outcome here that I'm sure has been discussed is building confidence in the applicant and who they are.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times there's a big, I can be confident, and we've seen this before in the past with prospective applicants for jobs, is that they're confident to an element of themselves, but they don't project it. They've been taught to project the skills or training or education they have, and then when they get there, to let them know who they are. And they're missing out that one of the best skills they have is who they are.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're whatever comes out that day, you know, the
you're making them reshape that right from the second they join Works. Is that
yes.
okay? Great. Your education is a box, but so much more of this conversation is actually who you are.
Yes.
Not that little box.
Bingo.
It's a combination. And
yes. And the freedom that gives.
Yes.
Because that gives me freedom. That gives me okay. I don't have to worry.
Yeah.
They're going to be blips. They're going to be yep. I'm out of work.
But they're also not going to get caught off guard who I am. Because
yes.
they know who I am.
Bingo.
They're expecting it. If I'm ambitious, one of the reasons they let me go a year later wasn't because I was too ambitious. They knew that was coming, and actually they wanted that.
Yes.
And instead of that, they've actually put opportunities in front of me that I'm overwhelmed, and
Isn't
I need
amazing?
To navigate that.
Isn't that amazing?
Tough problem to have.
Yeah, horrible problem to have. You get too many good things to do. But
so,
then that goes back to the conversation that we had earlier, where before we started recording, we were talking about that sense of... And you had said it was the Gen Z, it was the millennials. It's actually everybody.
Yeah.
That sense that it's just yeah. There's the Gen Z flavor, but everybody has this sense of either when I look out into the world, I see too many things to do. When I look out into the world, I don't see enough to do. And it's all coming back to the core, coming back to who you are. I teach this thing called the sweet spot that says, what are you good at? What do you care about? What is it that you find compelling that other people are struggling with or want to solve, and what are your needs?
Oh wow.
Merge those four. And you don't have to have it won't get you to a very precise, okay, good, I'm gonna go and get my plumbing apprenticeship. That's it. There'll be many things that satisfy your sweet spot, but it'll let you know if you're humming on all four of those things, I'm doing what I'm good at, I'm doing something that's engaging, that I care about, I'm getting my needs met. Needs, wants, and desires. So it's not just okay. Well, I'm making the salary that I said I was going to make. No. What is life calling you? What are you going for? And then most importantly, well, no, they're all most important. The fourth one is what is it that other people struggle with, or that problems that are out there in the world that you find compelling?
Mm-hmm.
There's a neat exercise. Run through a newspaper. Remember the newspaper. You run through a newspaper, get at least 25 articles that you read from beginning to end. And if you can't find it in one newspaper, go to another. And if it's not a physical newspaper, it's a site that has some long form to it. Yeah, there could be a couple, you know, 200-word, 300-word articles, but see which ones you read the 500-to-1,000-word articles. Which ones did you read all the way through? Write them down, write what it was about. then set it aside. 48 hours later, come back to it, look at it. You'll see, oh my God, there's some themes here. The things, when I look at all of the news that's out there, and you look at, you know, everything from sports to business to local politics to, you know, what's happening down at the local community center, to national world issues, you will find that there's some themes in there. These are things that you find compelling. These are the problems that you want to solve. And you can add that back to your needs, the things that you find you're good at, the things that you care about, and that's your sweet spot, and that's calling you back to yourself. And then watch your career go.
What
crazy.
A fantastic exercise. I feel like I should go home and have my 12-year-old do that now. And
do it.
And do it like every year to see that, one, the development change, because
yes.
I'm sure that's going to happen.
Without a doubt.
But then where's the trend? And
yes.
You'd almost get to the core of that burning desire of the what am I here to do kind of
Bingo.
Idea.
Without yeah. a doubt. And it's completely accessible to everyone. This is not something that is reserved for anyone.
Well, you just blew my mind. And so now I'm looking at a conversation I have often is that, you know, I use the phrase, and I know I heard it from somewhere. It's, you know, I don't live to work. I work to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I really struggle. There are some people, I guess, whose existence do fall into the fact that they find something that their life becomes their work.
Without a doubt.
And yeah. it works.
Sure.
You know, they don't change who they are. They don't have a split at 5 o'clock. They become, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Exactly.
And, you know, and they don't do this thing or Dr. Hyde, Mr. whatever one was. But anyways, they don't have that split. They're able to marry it together. And someone actually asked the question, do you even work? You can't tell the difference because
right,
that is who they
right.
are. And
yes.
all of a sudden it just feels like they're getting paid to be who they are. That is sometimes, I think, the new generation's dream is to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they're fixated thinking it's through YouTube and social media
YouTube,
to get
yeah,
that.
And
quite frankly, there's
like that, yeah.
tons of opportunities out there that these jobs do exist. But if you don't self-check, if you don't dig in and start having practices on yourself
that's right.
to figure out what that really is.
Because all you're doing is following someone else's image of what
well,
it should be.
And then the messaging that's out there very clear right now by some of the big names that are out there that are dominating social media is go try everything. So go try this, go try that. Well, that's time. And it's not that you don't have it. I think when you're 16 to 30, you'd probably do have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you're 30, you still want to still be trying because you feel like you haven't tried everything yet. And where are you? And what a late start.
Yes.
And
yes.
you haven't really...
And parents also can fall into that trap. They say, you know, I'm going to give you all the experiences in the world, give you a well-rounded person. No, let them stumble and break things and try things and... But then listen, because they're going to be telling you, dear parent, they're going to be telling you in their reactions what's inside their sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be stuff. The reason you give them exposure to that is so that they can then have something to react to.
Yep.
Like that, don't like that. Like this, don't like that. And as soon as they start getting their handle on that from age, whatever, 7, they start getting their handle on that, you encourage. Don't limit, encourage. Try that. What do you think? How does that work?
And a lot of times the success stories that we hear are almost accidental. It reminded me of a story I was hearing about Mark Fitzgerald. So he's the strength and conditioning coach for the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. He's a Whippy. And he was telling a story about how he sat down with his guidance counselor and said to his guidance counselor, you know, I don't know what I want to do kind of idea.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, why don't you try being a carpenter? His dad was a longstanding carpenter. And he said, the only thing I know is that I don't want to do that because I'm no good at it. He goes, I've tried it. Dad's had me try. And he goes, I'm no good at it. I can pick up all the heavy things. He said, but when it comes down to the creative vision, I don't have it.
Yep.
And so now the guidance counselor's lost. And so that was her failsafe. Was like, well, your dad's what your dad does. And so none of this fits. Way you go.
Yeah.
So he's now in that, you know, limbo piece at 16, 17 years old. You know, and where he ends up is a fortunate series of events because he challenged himself outside of his box a little bit, and he ends up falling into a strength and conditioning world. And so that was, you know, maybe he didn't see the connection, but what the moral of the story, what he was sharing with us is that his passion, where he put more drive in his life, was that he fell in love with football. He fell in love with football, and to be better at football, he had to be better at working out. And when he got better at working out, he fell in love, you know, football. To stay in football, and he needed grades.
Yes.
So the grades were, and so all of a sudden now he's a university candidate, and he gets to have it, and so it all matches, and he married, and he goes, but where was the trend?
Yes,
and the trend there was the training and the education behind the training.
And so
he ends up in a job doing that.
When we look back, we can see we can see the path. When we look forward, we can't see the path. The idea behind the sweet spot is that it gives you some guardrails.
Yeah.
It also gives you some insight and gives you some checks so that you're going inside for the answers instead of going outside for the answers. The outside will give you. Yeah, I like that, I don't like that, that's good, okay, great. But the going inside for the answer, and then the path unfolds. We can't we can't program the path. We're not going to program the path, but we're going to be ready for it and be open to it and go, yes, okay, good. What you'll find is that you'll have, in Mark's example, it wasn't just the passion, because there's an old thing in careers things that said, follow your passion. No, that's not good enough. Follow what you're good at. There's another guy. He's an amazing writer. I'm trying to bring up his name. Anyway, he's written a lot about it. It's not about your passion. It's about what you're good at.
Yeah.
And then practice what you're good at and just keep getting good at that, and then you'll become passionate about it.
Mm. That's huge.
That is huge.
Yes.
Because what you'll find is that you'll find the part of that work that rings true to you, which is your passion. So it's not that all of a sudden, okay, now I'm passionate about fitness. It's there's something about fitness that I'm passionate about, and I'm good at it. And so the being good at it also helps you be more passionate about it, because it's a nice loop. But it's still not good enough. It's not good enough just to what you're good at or what you are passionate about or what you care about. You also have to fit in your needs. What do I need, want, and desire? Mark, I need to be competent.
Yeah.
You know, he was saying to his guidance counselor, I can't be incompetent in this. I need to be competent. Fantastic. I need to have something that has got some legs to it, that I can see myself doing. So yeah, I need that. I need to have this type of people around me and this type of life that I want to create from it. And then what problem are you trying to solve? And then sometimes you don't know. And that's why that newspaper game.
I feel like Works is going to get diversified and big, because I feel like there's an element where you can have this type of conversation with Works into the high school system.
Oh yeah,
you
absolutely.
Could be in mm-hmm. that conversation and helping. Because the one thing I found, and I always defend the guidance counselors in the high school system.
Good,
I'm a defender of them.
Good,
because the more of them I get to meet,
doing the good work,
they are, and they're sponges. If you give them the opportunity to learn something new, they're some of the greatest sponges I've ever come across.
Oh wow,
they want it. They dig in deep. They dig in hard. But the thing is, they're inundated. If you think how many students they see, they're overwhelmed with the numbers that they come across. The challenges of today's youth versus yesteryear's youth, much different.
Mm-hmm.
So conversation about career planning and that essential skill stuff, it becomes one of the last things they're able to focus their majority of their time on with some yep. of the students. So when they get the opportunity to dig into something new, they're great with it, but they're not always on the search. So it's like you kind of have to present it to them.
Yes.
When you present it to them, it's there. The dialogue, the connection, they're so intelligent, they're compassionate, caring people. You have to be a guidance counselor.
Yes.
So all the pieces are there. And I can see so much value for them to be able to connect to like this stuff that we're sharing, that you're sharing mm-hmm. with me now, and how Works can help shape that conversation and help change the traditional application piece that
without
these kids are doing.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Because even the universities and colleges are still asking for resumes in some cases where it's the traditional resume.
Resume.
And it's from 1955.
And you look at college applications, university applications, it's all, you know, it's what are the grades and what are your extracurriculars, and it's that same, you're just building a resume.
Yeah.
Instead of, this is who I am, this is what I want to get out of this program, is this program for me, do I fit there? Yes, great, go.
So I know we're going to be getting short of time soon, but I want to ask, this question was earlier in my mind, and this segue beautifully, somehow magically stuff happens. Right now there's a lot of conversation going on, there's a lot of work being done to, I don't want to say reshape, but they're definitely looking at the education system of high school and elementary.
Sure.
And there's a lot of digging in from the Ministry of Education right now. You have such a diverse background. The focus now with Works, I mean, I think you're a wonderful resource.
Thank you.
So I'm going to ask you this question. What might be some recommendations from Mike, necessarily Mike or Works if you want,
mm-hmm.
that you would tell that the educators or the people that are sitting down trying to devise new strategies within curriculum, what are some things or advice you can share from maybe the prospective small business employers, that things they're constantly been searching for and what they're truly trying to communicate to the applicants?
Wow. First, I don't envy their job, because it is huge. You look at what the Ministry of Education in Ontario is doing, but even the state and other education departments in the states and in other ministries, not only in Canada, but around the world, this is not an easy problem. A lot of it is because we are hanging our hat on some old ideas about what education is. And some of it is we're trying to break free from it, and then we also have a tension to say, but it still has to be effective. And so you will constantly hear that, you know, we should be going back to the three R's. No, we should be opening things up. And then it becomes political instead of useful. So I probably encourage, one, don't go political, go useful. Find a way to have this be a not so much stuff the kid full of things that you think that they're going to need, but allow it to be something where you are standing next to them, helping them explore, saying, put your arm around that kid saying, I don't know what you're going to do any better than you do. I don't know what's right or wrong any better than you do in terms of your career. Yeah, we've got right and wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. I can't give you anything that you're going to all of a sudden have the magic bullet. That's not what this is about. It's actually about the journey. So I'm not here to make your life, to feather your nest and make your life perfect or get you the essential necessary things so that you can go off and be a productive person in our economy. All of that, but really, I don't know. Let's explore it together. Mm-hmm. And I've got in myself, as a teacher and an administrator and a guidance counselor, I've got a bunch of resources that I bring, but I've got the whole Ministry of Education behind me, geared up to help you and all your colleagues do that exploration in the time that we've allotted in an economic and efficient way that's actually fun and productive, and then watch out. People worry about, oh, look at the education systems in China. Look how strong they are in India. Look how much attention they're paying. Maybe, but no. More, it's let's create this sense of put my arm around the kid and say, I don't know either. Let's figure it out.
Yeah,
and I'm standing next to you. I'm not dumping things into you.
I'm addicted to analogies. Absolutely addicted to analogies.
I love analogies. Analogies and models.
You made me think of this is that, you know, instead of giving you a map with the destination and the path to get there, let's give you a map. What we know exists in there, but tell you, it's not all cleared out.
Bingo.
We're going to give you a pair of hiking shoes, a backpack, and a GPS and a radio. So as you're out there trying to get to where it is you're going, because we don't know where the destination is, you notice it's not marked.
Right.
Every once in a while when you encounter something, let us know. And we can help
Bingo.
Remind you what you're aware of. You know, we'll prepare you for the journey, but we're not going to tell you where you're going or how to get there.
Right.
Because how can we? Truly.
And it's frankly, it's not going to be very good if you look to someone else to set that journey for
exactly.
you. This is your journey.
Let's teach you the skills. We'll teach you to start a fire. We'll teach you to catch
Bingo.
Some food.
It's not about getting to that destination. It's about going through the fun of figuring this stuff out.
Let's give you
and
those.
That's huge. If imagine if every kid saw it not as, oh, I've got to get the good grades so that I can get into this program, so that I can get that thing, so that I can get that big house, and then I can finally relax and then be dead.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there is no tower, right?
No,
there is
no.
The dream of the 2.5 kids and a dog or cat, depending on allergies, isn't there. Like, it's not.
Depending on allergies.
Well, I have to throw that in nowadays, right?
Yeah, but that's good.
But it's true. It's just not there anymore. I mean, that perspective, I mean, it's so refreshing to hear it. It is so refreshing to hear it from someone like yourself with a background, with experience, with a passion and a care, and who's doing something within all industry. I mean, I can specify that obviously skilled trades is the focus of works, but...
Well, construction.
I was going
to
say,
it's a skilled trade.
This has an ability to...
It's also the site supervisor size. It's the architects. It's the consultants. Everyone in this industry. Yes.
I can see a lot of other industry, and maybe it's already started to happen, but start coming to you and asking the conversation about, can this be applicable to our industry?
It's absolutely applicable.
It's going to happen. Because
works for X, works for Y. Yeah,
they know themselves, whether it's even the nonprofit sector, just communicating what they need versus the traditional method of telling people what they think they need.
Bingo. Oh, my God. So well said.
Oh,
yes.
Well, that's summarizing what you've been saying to me the whole time.
You said it very well.
Thank you. Other than that, well, let's, as we start wrap up here, where can people find Works? Where's Works? Instagram, Facebook, everywhere?
Everything at Works Pro.
At Works Pro?
WRKSPRO. So there's no O in there. So it's
and that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I think you guys are on
LinkedIn.
I remember.
And then workspro.com for the site.
Absolutely.
Get in now. You build the base. The idea is that as an individual, you build your profile, add whatever you have, including skills. If you don't have carpentry skills, don't put that, but put in the things that you are good at, and then the companies will come to you. They're doing searching every day, and then you'll pop up and they go, oh, okay, and they'll reach out to you. You chat on the app, just like a dating app. If you're a company, you get in and you do those searches. You develop a job description. I said it was not really a job description, it's a job profile that says, what are the talents that I need? In order to achieve those 3 to 5 statements of this is what the job needs to do, what talents am I looking for? Great.
And work serves as how can I put it, an intermediary piece between both groups to help coach this conversation to be the same communication.
You bet.
Oh, this is fantastic. Well, I can't thank you enough for your time, man. This has been fantastic.
This has been fun. Let's do it again.
You took the words out of my mouth. This is awesome. Well, with that, I'm going to end it there for the sake of time. I appreciate, again, your time. And for everyone, that's another episode of Accidental Apprentice. Check us out on iTunes, Twitter. I finally did Facebook, although you can all see that I'm not very good at posting on there. We'll get there. As the team grows, I'm sure my impact will try to grow. But anyways, thanks, Mike. Works
thanks,
for the time, and we'll catch you on the flip side.